from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this glorious Wednesday afternoon in our fair city. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, where the party animals party, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Thank you for being a part of our day. Tomorrow, the animals get out of the cage. We will be at PDXYZ, really cool event here in Portland, and it's run by a couple of good buddies of mine, and it's a awesome networking event. Nico Harrison, GM of the Dallas Mavericks, is going to be there. Leaders of industry. You got the front office members of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Portland Timbers, Portland Thorns, Trailblazers. It's going to be a really cool event. Neil Everett will be there. I saw that I. Everett Rapp himself is emceeing an event as part of the PDXYZ networking event. So it's going to be really cool. And we're going to be out there tomorrow. All shows going to be live from PDXYZ. Great dudes putting that thing on. So I hope you all are in attendance for that. ESPN has another list that's making everybody mad except for Grant Generals or most of the people in Portland, not named Danny.
Yeah, not thrilled about this one.
ESPN has released their college football's top 25 players of the 21st century. Big list.
It's a big list, and it is difficult. I'm not going to downplay that.
No.
At all.
No, it's. I mean, some of them are. You go, huh? But other ones, you go, all right, yeah, I get it. Coming in at 25th is Jonathan Taylor, running back from Wisconsin. That kind of gives you an idea. But then you have Julius Peppers from North Carolina,
who I thought honestly I would have had higher.
Yeah, at 24th, but
yeah.
I mean, who are you going to put who are you going to put him above? Like Justin Blackmon, who we were talking about earlier with the wide receiver stuff. Yeah. He comes in at 21st, but he was so dynamic in college, it was wild. And they kind of, I mean, you got to have some sense of it. I'm not seeing that Kyler Murray was on this list, which he was really good. He won a Heisman Trophy.
I'm surprised Khalil Mack is on this list, even as great as he was.
Khalil Mack in college.
Just simply because it was Buffalo.
He was unfrigging believable. I mean, he 28 and a half sacks.
Yeah, no, look again.
16 forced fumbles and 4 interceptions and 2 touchdowns.
It was Brian Urlacher at New Mexico State type stuff.
He was absolutely crazy. But as you get into the top 10, if you're wondering, no, Marcus Mariota did not make the list.
Which, again,
that's why I was
surprising.
I was surprised that
I would have had him over Kyler.
And Kyler Murray did.
100% of it would have had him over Kyler.
I was a little bit surprised there. Your top 10 are Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver, Pittsburgh.
Not even close to batting an eye at.
I loved him. But he was so special.
Not even close to batting an eye.
Number 9, which I think is a little low, Joe Burrow. Yeah,
the most productive college quarterback season ever.
But it was 2 seasons in 1 electric season.
Yeah. The electric season, though, is the best quarterback season we've ever seen.
Number 8 is Bryant McKinney, offensive tackle, University of Miami, from those...
Not a surprise if you remember that game.
Freaky Miami teams where he led the way for guys like, oh, I don't know, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good road paver.
And Bryant McKinney went on to also not only be the best offensive lineman, it was him and Joe Thomas.
Danny, I am going to ask you to please... Hold your fit.
Yeah, no.
Just okay, no. Okay, hold your fit as we get here. 7 is Reggie Bush, running back, USC. That's low. Number 6 is Tim Tebow, which I also think Tim Tebow is low.
Yeah, I do too.
Number 5, safety Ed Reed, Miami.
Too high.
Number 4, Vince Young, Texas.
He's one spot too low.
Number 3, Cam Newton.
Push.
Which... He falls into that. He falls into the Joe Burrow category for me, and Joe Burrow was even more electric.
Yes,
but he just didn't do it with his legs as much as Cam Newton did. Number 2 is Baker Mayfield, Texas Tech, Oklahoma.
Way too high.
Very, 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 very good player. Very good player.
And don't get me wrong.
Does not have the accolades that like all of these guys have, like top pick, Heisman trophies, but they also have like. Literally putting a team on their back and dragging them to national championships too. And then the number 1 player of the 21st century, Grant Generals Unite, defensive tackle from the University of Nebraska and Portland, Oregon's own, Ndamukong Suh.
I have no problem with being top 5. I do not have him in the top 3.
Okay. Now you can throw your Reggie Bush fit.
If you don't have Reggie 1 or 2, you're insane.
I agree with that.
You're insane. Reggie Bush is, if not the most dynamic college football player outside of Barry Sanders, like that's the list when you're talking about the most dynamic, explosive, terrifying players to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Every time they touch the ball, you're going, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap.
Yeah. And if you're going to put Vince Young up there,
I would have him too.
Then you would have to have Reggie Bush up higher as well.
I think if you're. Coming from my generation, Reggie Bush is why you fell in love with college football.
Yep.
Like, it's not Tavon Austin. It's not even Vince Young. Like, Reggie Bush was the man, and we all wanted to be Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Everybody has the Reggie Bush moments that are just etched in your brain. And all of these guys have those moments, right? But Reggie has so many of them. I mean, the Fresno State cutback.
That
Oregon,
game alone.
It was absolutely nuts. And
six
then
highlights.
The national championship game where you're just like, it was.
Him and Vince are trading haymakers.
Haymakers back and forth. And Reggie did it as a returner, a running back, a receiver. He on a team that had talent
everywhere.
Upon talent upon talent, he shined on that team. And I think that is special. And like, look, that's the same can be said for Vince Young, because if you look at the number of NFL guys that were on that team, same can be said for any of those Miami guys of
those
early
Miami guys especially.
Odds. Those teams were some of the most loaded ever. And guys like Ed Reed and Bryant McKinney were ones that were head and shoulders above even those guys. But Reggie Bush not being number one is pretty wild to me.
Yeah, and moving him down to 7.
7 is...
Holy crap.
I think a bit egregious. And Bill Connolly, ESPN, he's the one that compiled this list.
Is he a Nebraska grad by any chance?
I don't know.
Maybe. It's either that or he went to UCLA.
Yeah. But Ndamukong Suh
again,
was...
top 5, 100%.
Probably
5 in my mind.
The most dominant defensive lineman... In a game record.
He was the Charles Woodson of the 2000s. Like, if Charles Woodson was the guy who the last generation or the last century was the guy that terrified you defensively every single time you were out. Every time that ball went up in the air, you're like, no, that's a bad idea. And Ndamukong Suh was that for this generation or this century. I think it's him and then Aaron Donald.
I would love for an official to go back and like
score the
have
holding.
An actual a referee go back and just go game by game, because they weren't doing this back then,
yeah,
of how many holding penalties were called and how many holding penalties were not called against Ndamukong Suh.
He just got bear hugged.
Teams just said, all right, well, if we're in the middle of the field, we're going outside the hashes. We have to. Mm-hmm. And if you were on a hash, it was,
where's he lined up? Go the opposite
way. We have to go to the wide side of the field. He made defense easier for the 10 other guys on the field because so much attention was drawn towards Ndamukong Suh. Him being number one, I don't think he's number one, but he also, I mean, God, you think about it, dude should have won the Heisman.
He should have won the Heisman.
He should have won the Heisman Trophy that year. What would your top five look like then?
My top five would be Reggie, Vince. Three, I'm debating. I think I want to put Tebow there because of just everything he did. Tebow Mania was the closest thing we got to how crazy things were with Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my top three. And then four and five, I think I've got Sue. I think I've got Ndamukong five. I think you can make a pretty easy argument for four. I want to put Bryant McKinney there.
Oh, okay.
I want to, because he was. I remember, for whatever reason. Do you have like the NFL drafts when you were a kid that like just burn into your brain?
Yeah, some of them.
I have his draft burned into my brain, and I remember like watching SportsCenter and Kuiper and those guys and Boom talking about Bryant McKinney in a godlike sense.
Yeah.
And I think that to me, like that burned into my head of like the only other guy I remember like that as a kid was Orlando Pace. When he was talked about
out of Ohio State was like, everybody's just like, God, this guy is
like this is a first ballot Hall of Famer type. Like, you know what I mean? Like they just, yeah. There was just something different. So I think I want to go with McKinney, but I think I could also swap out Joe Burrow in there.
Yeah, my five would go Reggie Bush would be number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it would be Tim Tebow.
Okay.
Like, his NFL career, throw that out.
Yeah.
Dude won two national titles.
Everything.
At Florida. And when you think of the way that he led that Florida team.
With
which
that much
was,
crazy.
Wow. He was insanely talented,
yep,
as a college quarterback. Then I'd go Vince Young at three. I would put Ndamukong Suh at four, and then Joe Burrow would be five.
Okay, yeah.
Joe Burrow would be number five for me. But Suh at number one, big come up for the east side of the river here in Portland.
Old Grant showing. Again,
go Generals.
Mariota being left off is insane.
Not even in the top 25, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Terrell Suggs also on this list at 11. That's...
Dude, he was so...
Terrorist.
So
I remember good. Seeing him the first time and going, why is there a grown man playing in college football?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was the first time I saw somebody in that... Because Suggs had those arms and chest that were just like...
Yeah.
You're different. Like, he had the giant brand, and you're just at, like, 20 years old, where you're like... Oh no! There's something weird about you. Like you're not like everyone else.
Deshaun Watson being at number 16 on this list and Mariota not even being on it was wild to me.
Yeah, and
burying Lamar Jackson at 20. I'll never forget watching in the studio on a Thursday night. I was producing primetime, and Louisville played Syracuse, and Lamar Jackson jumped over two people.
Mm.
And it was a Thursday game, and it was just like, what in the world? This guy is an absolute freak. He's a menace on the field.
I mean, he won a Heisman at Louisville.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
Hells yeah.
Like, let that settle in for everybody. That's such an insane thing to actually say. Like, this isn't in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is...
Yeah.
This is modern football that a Heisman winner came from Louisville.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts Louisville. To think about. Louisville. Yeah, Louisville, if you are Scotty Scheffler, though.
Can I just say, I know he won a Heisman.
Yeah.
Devonta Smith. Not thrilled about him being top 25.
Yeah, that's a little bit of recency bias.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit of recency bias there because, you know who I would throw on this list at the back end if you want to sit there and you want to say a wide receiver that
from the SEC
was incredible? No, Mike Hass, who won the Biletnikoff Award, came out of absolutely nowhere, dominated the world of college football.
At freaking Oregon State.
At Oregon State. That is crazy. The honorable mention, by the way, Mariota did make the honorable mention, as did a wide receiver that I think should have been on this list, Michael Crabtree. Yeah. Dwight Freeney, Robert Gallery, Robert Griffin III, that was a good one.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson, Derek Johnson, Luke Kuechly, Trevor Lawrence, and Christian McCaffrey. How about McCaffrey, Andrew Luck, or...
Marisich?
No. Oh, Marisich, yeah. No, Toby Gerhart, who got hosed out of a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, no, he did. It's honestly surprising that they got the wrong Clemson quarterback in the top 25.
Right?
Because I would have gone Lawrence over Watson.
Yeah. And I think that the reasoning for Connolly putting Deshaun Watson on there is the emergence of the kickstart of the Clemson run.
God, do you remember Robert Gallery at Iowa? Good Lord, he bombed
the hair
with the Raiders.
He had the long hair, though. He fit the Raiders so well.
He did, and then they moved him to guard. He was at least usable.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Interesting. Send us your top five. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326 or chime in on the YouTube chats, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Top 25 players of the 21st century in college football, according to Bill Connolly. We'll tweet out the list. You can also comment on that at Danny and Dusty on socials. All right, staying in the world of football, you pulled a little bit of audio that, whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
This would have been quite the draft day trade. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, on the YouTube chat, Corin has his top five college football players of the 21st century. So, 2000 and on. That's why we had a texter said, how's Ricky Williams not on the top 25? He was drafted in 99.
Yeah, that's why.
So, his college was in the 20th century. In the 1900s, as the kids would say. But Corin has... 1, Tebow. 2, Bush. 3, Mariota. 4, Young. 5, Sue. 6, Burrow. 7, Lamar Jackson. 8, Adrian Peterson. That's a great one.
Yeah.
9, Christian McCaffrey. And 10, DeAnthony Thomas. DeAnthony Thomas is an interesting one because of he had highlight after highlight after highlight. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't like an award winner.
No.
But if you look at the games that he just flipped on his head, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pretty damn.
If you're saying like the best weapons of the 21st century, he would be top 10.
Yeah.
He'd be
top 10. Just a weapon.
Yeah.
Of galactic proportions.
Because yeah, it was the closest thing we had seen to Reggie, like when he hit the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck.
And P. Lynn Lawrence, this is crazy too. When you think that the Baltimore Ravens had on one team Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed.
Yeah. Weird how they won a title, huh?
My God. And Joe Flacco's the one that got paid.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco. Going to give him that money there. All right. The Giants Hard Knocks is one of the best things that has happened. I love this show.
It's great.
I just started diving in and binging all of it.
It's fantastic because you see how stupid the Giants are.
Well, you don't, not that, but you see inside thinking. I don't think it is even like them being stupid. It's like when people can just take these snippets, we take being in the moment out of it, mm-hmm, right?
For sure.
Like Saquon Barkley leaving and then like Joe Shane going, I don't know where he's going to go. And the owner's like, I hope he doesn't go to Philly. And then where does he go? Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't know where he was going to go. Like you didn't. You had to make a decision because in agreement the year before, if they were doing Hard Knocks, we would have seen their reasoning behind giving Daniel Jones a contract and not Saquon Barkley.
Which
people don't know. People don't understand.
But you
get the inside of, in the insight to what they are thinking, mm-hmm, as these processes are going on. And the draft evaluation of guys, like when they brought all of the receivers in and had one meeting where they had, mm-hmm, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, and Malik Nabers all in for a visit together. I thought that was great stuff.
Sure.
When you watch them break down film with the wide receivers coach and then all the players leave the room, they come in and the receivers are like, Nabers my guy.
Yeah.
I want Malik Nabers. But then most recently, we got draft night.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Shane, the general manager for the New York Giants, he was taking offers for that number 6 pick.
I'm good. You guys looking to come up? 15, 46 next year's too. Okay. We'll let you know. Okay. Thanks, Chris. All right, bye. That's too far. I'm not going back.
Chris Ballard, general manager of the Colts, called him and said, we'll give you 15, 43, and a 2 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would drop, 9 spots in, mm-hmm, the draft down to 15th. And one of your receivers would not be there.
Yeah.
All 3 of those guys were obviously going to be gone. Marvin Harrison Jr. already off the board. Mm-hmm. But you would have missed out on Nabers and Rome Odunze at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm not moving down too much. I think that tells you how much they felt about Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm.
They love Malik Nabers. We know that through watching this Hard Knocks, but they didn't want to miss out on an elite wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah.
15, you wouldn't have been able to do it.
No.
But I think the other part is I look at it and I go, dude, Colts wanted to get into that conversation.
Yeah.
They wanted one of those guys.
They were giving up their 1 and 2 twos to move up, 9 spots? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of capital to move up 9 spots. You're going to give up two second round picks? That's some juice.
Yeah. And then they had, right after that, Jets GM called and he just gave him the no. we're not moving out of this spot regardless. So after you turn down 15 and 2 twos,
mm-hmm,
I mean, you think
and
about
you can't
that.
Do it to your crosstown team either.
15, you're getting a starter.
Mm-hmm.
2 twos, you're getting
two guys that you think
should start on your football team, if not immediately in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a guy who's going to play significant football for you.
And the Giants have so many holes.
That would have been scary, though, if the Colts were able to pull that off, because they would have had a receiving core that has Michael Pittman Jr.,
mm-hmm,
They would have gone with, because they got A.D. Mitchell, they wouldn't have drafted A.D. Mitchell mm-hmm. where they did. So they would have gone Josh Downs and then either Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, whichever guy that they coveted in that spot.
I think they would have gone Rome.
Why?
I don't know. Just something about that. I just look at the quarterback they have.
I mean, I don't think you can. Both those guys are going to be really dangerous.
I do too.
It was just your preference. Yeah. I don't know what their preference is, but they wanted in. They wanted in on that sweepstakes because they knew one of those two guys was going to be there for them, and they wanted to make sure they were in that.
And they wanted to give their young quarterback, you know, new shiny toy to play with.
God.
That'd
have been scary.
It's very interesting. And as much as Nabers looks good, I've seen him have pretty decent odds for rookie of the year. Like not great earning odds. I think he was like fourth on the list. And I would go nowhere near them. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Malik Nabers.
Because his quarterback can't throw him the ball?
Yeah, it is horrendous. The clips we have seen, whether it's Hard Knocks or the training camp clips, I would rather run out with Aiden O'Connell and be thrilled about that choice than what I've seen from Daniel Jones.
Well, how about I counter with this? Do you remember Garrett Wilson?
Sure.
He was a rookie of the year with Zach Wilson throwing him the football. In New York!
He shouldn't have been, though.
Yeah.
It should have been to K-9.
Yeah.
But he was.
You're right. The New York bias might get it for him. You know what? I did not consider it. But even then, Zach Wilson basically force fed him the ball. I don't know if Daniel Jones can force feed him.
Yeah,
Malik Nabers the ball because he's underthrowing Malik Nabers by 3 yards every time.
Yeah, I mean, he only had 4 touchdown catches his rookie year, but Garrett Wilson had 83 catches for 1,100 yards.
Yeah, how many targets did he have?
147.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's either a lot of drops or a lot of misses.
I think we know what that was.
That
was a lot of misses there. I mean, he was targeted
60.
I mean,
you had 83 catches and you had almost 60 opportunities that you didn't have.
That seems like the whole you have
good,
like in soccer, you have shots and then shots on goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he had shots. Not very many of those were on goal.
Not on frame.
I don't think very many of those were coming his way. I'll look at he only had 5 drops, which is a lot, but only 5 of those, you know. What
roughly 50? 60, yeah, 50, 54,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So 49 other misses.
Yeah. Ugh. Just a bit outside.
Good Lord. That's terrifying. All right, coming up on our worst day on the web. Hey, the U.S. government wastes money. But first,
no way.
Big Will Betts, the Sports Center Update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Huh, no way. The United States government may or may not have been wasting money.
Oh, no way!
Who could have possibly seen this coming?
No way.
I always found it a little bit interesting, the amount of money that the United States government spends on recruitment for the military, particularly when spending, I don't know, an $11 million marketing deal with Dwayne Johnson and the UFL. $11 million generated them 38 recruits.
Oh.
Dwayne Yikes. Johnson was supposed to do 5 sponsored social media posts. He only ended up doing 2 of them. So now the government is suing UFL and
The
Dwayne
Rock
Johnson for not for
not supporting the troops.
Yeah, basically, and saying
The Rock American, not supporting the troops.
They want their money back.
Bad
they,
American.
They want $6 million back.
Yeah.
This is, however, not the most egregious sponsorship deal that led to nothing.
Who could have known the UFL was not going to get you your desired results?
The Pentagon estimates that their National Guard NASCAR deal of $88 million.
Dude, that is what NASCAR is like. People don't understand how much it costs to be the title sponsor of a car.
Not to have a little sticker. I'm talking like
your car.
You're the DuPont Jeff Gordon Chevrolet. Yeah. Like that DuPont sponsorship, you know, in today's dollars, you're looking at like $150 million a year.
Yes.
Like it's
It is
otherworldly money. Because it's what people don't understand is it's constantly. When you're watching the race and you're watching Jeff Gordon, who's going to be there at the top every single time, or the Lowe's Jimmy Johnson, like, because they're going to say the Lowe's Jimmy, like, they're going to say the sponsor before every single time. So you get, if you're a top driver, you get it referenced 50 freaking times.
Yeah.
If you're at the top of the pack, your visual is on the screen for literal hours. So yeah, it's as much as it's this insane amount of money, it's also, there's more branding being done than in literally anything else.
You ever think they're like, hey, our sponsor needs some new looks. You're in middle of the pack. You need to put it in the wall, buddy. they need more
camera time.
Here. Yeah. We're not really seeing you all that much. We need you to put this one in the wall, pal.
Yeah, the car shield four needs to hit the wall here and show you what it can be used for.
How much do you think Mellow Yellow paid for Cole Trickle's ride in Days of Thunder?
Oh, man. You know,
That's a good one, though, because they're still getting the pub off of that.
I bet you there's somebody out there that has done, in high, out, low, baby, and that has done the research on this stuff, because there was somebody who did this. God, what movie was it? God, now I can't think of it. There was a movie that did product placement, basically in the mid or early 80s, like around the same time as Days of Thunder, that ended up kind of like being genre defining or like movie defining of how you did product placement naturally. Yeah. Where the Mellow Yellow didn't feel forced.
No, because it was part of the storyline.
Yeah, and that was the thing. It's like, you know, they kind of made fun of it in Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
With
Wonder Bread.
Yeah. And the Cougar. Me.
And Perrier.
Yeah. But, like, those were real sponsors. Like, that was real money that went into that. But, yeah, there are people out there that do this kind of research of, like, hey, actually, Darren Rovell does this all the time. Like, this company got this based on this.
Based on impressions and visibility of advertising, all that stuff, yeah.
Coors Light is the most recent one that had the Ohtani. The Ohtani hit a home run blacked out the scoreboard. The small one, and then Coors Light did the special edition can that had the replica of the blackout, but it was like one of the more viral like moments that they changed everything for. But back to the military, this is not the most money they've ever pissed away.
No, $88 million on NASCAR. At least
led
you're
to
like
zero recruitments. By the way, the Pentagon estimates that particular ad campaign.
Really?
Led to zero enlistments, zero recruitments.
How do they determine that? Well, is it like when you go to sign up, they're like, did you see our car?
Well, I mean, yes.
That's exactly what
they don't
it is.
Ask about the car. Like, they ask what brought you here.
It's like
NASCAR did.
That's why when you go to Victor Rico's, tell them Dusty sent you.
Yeah.
that's why you see that in fans. Ads and stuff. You're like,
because that's their way of like getting impressions.
Yeah, yeah. You'll sit there and
that's the
they
feedback.
Ask like when they enlist, like what led you to enlist? And nobody's saying, seen the NASCAR?
No. Yeah, that was the thing. Like, when I did, I literally went in the next day on 9/12. Nobody asked.
So what brings you in?
What brings you in today?
Yeah, what? No.
Did something happen that was important the day before?
Okay, yeah.
So,
we know why you're here.
Yeah. That was a pretty simple, you know, plug-and-play situation, but otherwise, you know, and that's the thing is, like, why did they go with NASCAR? Why don't they sponsor the NBA? And it's like, where is NASCAR popular? Where do enlistments come from? The South.
The South, yeah.
Like, that's, I believe.
So you're telling me, like, a Lakers patch of the U.S. Army would not work?
Probably not, but
on LeBron's
chest. Well, the NASCAR didn't work either, so you got to try something new.
Where you could do it and probably be pretty successful is if the Chargers were still in San Diego.
Down in Southern.
Have them
Marines?
Well, it's Marines, but I'm saying like, just military in general. Like,
yeah.
A significant amount of enlistments come out of Southern California across service branches, but this is the United States government throwing money away.
How much do you think with the UFL thing and The Rock, mm-hmm. the San Antonio Brahmas are like his team?
The Brahma Bulls.
The Brahma Bulls because of The Rock. They were because that's where they host the U.S. Army All-American game. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much money they get out, how many enlistees they get out of the U.S. Army All-American game. That would be because they put up a ton of money for that, too. But they do that in San Antonio because of the bases that are.
Yeah, I mean, Lackland Air Force Base is literally right there with the Air Intelligence Agency. So that alone is a pretty easy one. And then you've got two military installations.
Huh.
So,
well, so advertising for the U.S. Army not working.
Huh? I mean, yeah, no, this is, it's the least surprisingly shocking thing. Like this, this people talk about, you know, weapons contracts and, you know, siphoning money off to friends with benefits kind of a situation in government.
Yeah, a lot more money goes there.
This is the real siphoning, because at least with the weapons deals, like there's something to show for it. It's a new inventive way to kill somebody, but you know, but
okay,
we can do it more efficiently, faster, and with a more precise payload.
Yeah.
But you know, and not only that, let me tell you, the marketing materials that we get from like Lockheed Martin, let me tell you, those pitch meetings, I've seen a couple of those.
Well, yeah, because they're pumping a lot of money into
it. It's pretty impressive. They'll do things.
I've seen Iron Man. I know how those go.
It's actually not that far off, to be honest.
I know. I told you. I've seen Iron Man.
It's
would Robert Downey Jr. ever do anything wrong?
No. I think he's going to crush Doctor Doom too.
Boy, people are really upset about that.
I think it's great. I love that it's pissing everyone off.
I, for one, have no idea what it all means.
That's the best way.
He's playing a new character in a movie.
No, I understand yeah, that.
Well, no, you said you didn't know what it meant.
Why people are so upset is like, how could you move him from Iron Man to Doctor Doom? And it's like, I don't know. I don't care.
Because
I'll watch it.
They signed a contract.
Movies.
Actors. That's what they do.
Are people still mad that Chris Evans was both the Human Torch and Captain America?
Like, for one, I'm furious.
Thanks, Will. Mm. I am too. I'm outraged by this. How can you have him be the Human Torch and then Captain America?
Right.
What are we doing here?
I mean,
how can we have eight different Spider-Man?
Or Ed Norton no longer being the Hulk?
Dude, that wasn't a good game. No.
The movie was not good, but I actually liked Ed Norton as the Hulk.
You liked Ed Norton?
I thought it was incredible.
Great piece of cinema.
I see what he did there. You see what he did there?
Yeah,
I know. Said it was
I'm ignoring
because
I'm
he's
ignoring
called the
Jeff
Incredible
Rust.
Hulk. Yeah. He's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, Rust is rubbing off on him. We're going to make sure he's not
it's
around.
It's not Let's Hypnotic it and Hennessy. It was a different kind of Incredible Hulk that he was, the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little hip.
Oof, blackout fuel.
Good Lord. I think if you've ever drank that in your life, you can no longer have an opinion on drinks.
Have you had it in your life? Okay, so you can't have an opinion on drinks?
Had what?
Like,
I think that's an outrageous comment that you just made.
No, I'm talking...
It was the era.
We talked about this yesterday, off air. If you are an NBA player, and James Harden is out here taunting his wine collection.
Yeah.
My wine's better than yours. Like, no, you don't get to be pretentious about wine and alcohol. But we all know you drank Hypnotic and Hennessy. Like, no.
That was a drink of the times, though.
Yeah, I know, but
and it was
still,
when you're young, and then your palate expands.
No,
and that's like saying, because I drank Mad Dog 2020, I can't enjoy IPAs.
No, you can, but you don't get to sit here and be pretentious about it.
Okay,
how dare
so
your palate not be as refined as mine?
When can you? Well, I think you shouldn't do that, period.
Why not?
But when can you under your...
The bourgeoisie can have their bourgeoisie palate, okay?
So if you don't like have a bad college drink, you can then be
if you're not tainted
snotty.
By the...
I don't think this. I don't subscribe to this.
I can't believe you're gatekeeping being snotty.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
Let the snotty be actually snotty. Like, that's their thing.
I don't think anybody should be, but not gatekeep it, because fart sniffer's going to sniff farts.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to do.
New money fart sniffers, no.
I thought our military fought for this country to be open so that we could move up in a system
yes,
to be snotty.
And be ourselves, and be our broken, taste-budded, liver-bleeding selves.
Damn. All right.
You guys ever seen a gonster?
Go on.
It's Guinness and Monster.
That sounds awful.
Oh, God, I hate Guinness to begin with.
I watched a guy chug five of those.
Oh, God, that's horrendous.
Half Guinness, half Monster, gonster.
Golly, that sounds terrible.
Remember the story about the guy who crapped his pants in the plane and everybody almost puked? God.
Probably had a gonster.
Oh,
chased
you're, not,
the
you're probably
ball.
Not wrong.
I mean, it's called a gonster because that the person who drinks that
is either puking
is just
or crapping,
looking for blackout.
The top is black, the bottom is green.
Oh God, it's probably a float, huh?
It's a gonster, dude.
Oh God,
how many have you had?
I want one so bad.
Circle. You went with I want one so bad.
I got to try it, dude. You got to try it, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to, we'll bring one in. And now do you,
I will.
Do you chug it or do you sip a Gonster? I feel like
you
got to
try
it.
Both. That's the issue. You got to try both. Which one's more palatable?
So we're going to bring in two Monsters and two Guinnesses for you.
Are we going to do this?
Well, I think you can do.
I am not touching that. You got to do half and half. Foot pole.
Come on. So I think you only need one Guinness and one Monster.
Come on, it's a bonding experience.
No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to hold on. You're not going to go. You need the full experience, though.
Right.
So you don't go half and half. No, you have to do two of the fulls.
I know, but you got to pour them in the same glass. So you have to have a glass big enough. I'm so down for this.
I'll do it.
Yes.
Come on.
I'll do it too.
There we go.
One of us.
A little bonding.
This sounds
terrible.
Awful.
We are going to feel like complete trash.
I think the Monster will do that anyway, but then you add the Guinness to it, that's going to be bad.
The Gonster.
All right. God, that sounds awful.
Goodness gracious. All right, coming up next, Jonathan Givney did an anonymous poll of 20 executives in the NBA following NBA Summer League.
I can't get over the Gonster.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have to some ground rules.
I'll send you a video.
Okay. We'll dive into where the Klinger, old Donovan Klingon, popped up on this. Coming up next year on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Baltimore Orioles made a couple moves and cleared a space for rookie phenom Jackson Holliday to get his recall back to the majors after struggling in his initial call-up to start the season. And, let's just say it's off to a roaring start.
Yeah, he came out of the gate pretty lackluster, though. His first call-up in April, in 10 games, he went 2 of 34.
Yeah.
No extra base hits, one RBI, 18 strikeouts.
Yeah. And as a reminder, he is 19. Yeah. This is not a 22 or 23 year old. This is a 19 year. Hitters typically do not come up through the ranks this fast. And so for him to go back down, there was this freak out, and it's like, whoa, calm down. Travis Bazana, who was just taken first overall, is older than Jackson Holliday already.
By a wide margin, because he went to college.
So everybody chill.
Yeah.
As far as like Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in baseball still. And that's because he has these kind of talents.
Holliday drills it. Right field. Down the line. Grand slam. The happiest of Holliday's. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, Jackson is here.
Woo. Yeah.
Grand slam for your first home run.
That's the way to go.
That's pretty kick-ass.
I bet you he'd be, if he knew that struggling in the beginning would turn into this, I think he'd be okay with it.
But there's a long ways to go. He went 1 for 5 today, mm-hmm. but it was a grand slam. Yeah. It 1 for 5 raised his batting average to .077.
There you go.
On the season.
There you go.
It's been a rough start.
Yeah, it is.
And we don't give enough credit because this is the problem, but the beauty about baseball is the issue is to when guys are all throwing 95 plus, when you have pitchers, not throwers, out there trying to strike you out,
mm-hmm.
the level of pitching in baseball is across the board better than it's ever been across league-wide,
yes.
right? Like, well, I'm not talking about like rotations as good as the Braves in the 90s.
No.
But what you have is you have got across the board guys throwing harder. Guys with more junk that has more break and more spin on it than we've ever seen before. And it makes it really hard to do the hardest thing in all of sports, which is to hit a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. It's the hardest thing in any sport to do is to hit a baseball. And you have guys like Jackson Holliday who come up, and as you said, 19 years old, the expectation is that he rakes.
Which is insane because what? Nobody.
No. Especially when you're 19 Harper and was, look 14.
Harper was 20 when he got his call up.
So
it's like his full time call up.
I believe he was
20, but also remember that at 16 he went to junior college. Like he graduated high school really early.
Yeah. But the thing with Jackson is Jackson has been touted as this level of prospect for quite literally 4 years.
Yeah, like, just like Bryce Harper.
Yes, like it's same kind of thing. Like the Holliday Baseball Factory that is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and his dad and his uncle is quite a sight to behold.
Bryce Harper's first year, he was 19, played 139 games when he was 19 years old.
And I remember, weirdly enough, I was at the first time that Trout got called up permanently with the Angels. He had been called up the year before and had his own troubles and tribulations that he went through. It's just, there's an adjustment period, man, especially for a teenager. Like, it's
Bryce Harper was 17 years old when he made his minor league debut. Whew. So he played in the minors
for 2 years,
17, 18 years old, and then was brought up in 2012.
And Jackson Holliday played in the minors for 2 months.
a flash before the April call up. Yeah. He was drafted in June and or July and ended up finishing out that year, played fall ball, and then started
playing the
season in Major League Baseball in April. He was on the big league roster, and then they sent him back down.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're back, buddy.
Welcome to the bigs. Now go have fun in Norfolk. And then they brought him back up. And look, that's a when you bring a guy up, though, you want to see that growth and that confidence coming back, because he was broken after those 10 games. Like, he did not look like he wanted to be up at the plate. And that's what they sent him back down, and you saw a little bit of growth here today with the grand slam. I just am so excited for the Orioles' future. I hope that it works out the way that they've kind of cultivated this. They sucked for a really long time. They knew what they were doing.
Boy, did they reap the rewards.
They have knocked it out of the park. And hopefully new ownership is willing to pay the freight to get
to
an
keep
elite
all of
pitching
it. Yeah.
staff in as well. And, to pay for
Adley,
all these guys as they come up.
And
dude, they're going to have so many $100 million guys.
I know. And it'll be so much fun and so worth it.
Damn right it will be.
So,
not my money.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Coming up next, Jonathan Givney did a straw poll of 20 different executives coming out of NBA Summer League. He got some surprising results on where Donovan Klingon sits in the pack, as well as some other maybe not so surprising results as far as the guys that maybe didn't look so well down in Las Vegas. We'll get to that more in hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.